You're listening to Inside Isla Vista on 91.9 FM KCSB. I'm Lisa Osborne, your host tonight. It's great to be with you on a month when Isla Vistans are looking back and looking ahead with hope and inspiration. It was 3 years ago this month that tragedy occurred on the streets of Isla Vista when a student went on a rampage, and at the end of the night, seven people were dead. And how does a small community come bounce back after that, especially a community that's so filled with young people and others who were just so personally affected by this tragedy? So we're taking a look back at the Isla Vista tragedies of 2014, and some events are being held to honor those who were lost that night, and also to look ahead in building the Isla Vista community even stronger. Coming up this weekend, there is the second annual Isla Vista Conference, the beloved community, and Deanna Collins Puente, who's the Isla Vista Community Advisor for Associated Students and putting on the conference, is here to talk with us today. It's so great to see you, Deanna. Thanks for coming.
It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, I met you last year when you were just putting together the original, the very first event, the beloved community, and now you're on to year two. So I want to talk about what's going to happen this Friday and this Saturday, as everyone's invited to attend. Let's take a look at some other events that are happening this month as well, as we remember those students lost in the tragedy on May 23rd, 2014. There's a beautiful display that's going to be going up next week in the Community Resource Building. Mm-hmm. And the students from the Nikkei group were folding paper cranes.
That's right. This is actually something that also happened spontaneously right in the aftermath of the May 23rd tragedy in 2014, that students created these cranes. And so it's beautiful to see that that is coming back this year. They have actually been creating them all last week in the Student Resource Building, and they're going to be installing them in the Student Resource Building semi-permanently, meaning at least through the end of this year, those cranes will remain up there.
And the cranes in Japan, they have they're a symbol of peace, unity, and healing. And it's just a beautiful display in the Student Resource Building for anyone who can get by and see them once they go up next week.
Absolutely.
There's also some other events taking place. There's one on Monday night at the Multicultural Center here on campus, and it's documenting our community healing responses to the May 23rd, 2014 Isla Vista tragedy. Do you know what's happening with this event?
Yes. So this is actually something that is being pulled together that is organized by Melissa Bartholomew, and they did a lot of documenting throughout the last few years of the way in which the community responded through memorials to the tragedy in May. One of the things that they did last year was they had a major exhibit in the Red Barn throughout the entire month of May, I believe it was. And so now they're taking some of those photographs from that collection as part of the Isla Vista Memorial Archive Project to show how the community came together. And so that event is on May 22nd, which is Monday, from 5:30 to 7 at the Multicultural Center. And there will be some speakers that are going to be discussing community building, student activism, and continued acts of remembrance. And there will also be a reception that will follow that.
And Deanna, where you work at Pardall Center was really ground zero when the tragedy occurred, where a lot of students came together for healing. So I want to talk about that coming up in just a couple of minutes here.
Absolutely.
Let's go through the rest of these events. Show Your Pride Day is on Tuesday. Wear blue and gold or any gaucho gear to show the world how gauchos strong we are. Also sharing photos on the Facebook event page, Show Your Pride Day, so you can see what the gaucho community is doing on May 23rd. Just search hashtag gaucho strong across social media. And then there is a candlelight vigil for the community on the actual anniversary date of the tragedies in Anascoil Park.
That's right. This has been the third candlelight vigil that will be held in commemoration of the May 23rd tragedy. And it really has been a way to come together as a community and honor and remember those who died and were injured. It has been one of the largest events that I think the community has really come out to support each other, you know, in remembrance. And so it's been very powerful to see all those folks gathered. In the previous years, everyone has used a blue light to reflect our unity. And so you have probably have seen some of the images that have come out of that if you weren't able to participate, but really a beautiful gathering by the community.
And the symbol, the blue light, it was taken because wasn't that blue LED light invented here at UCSB?
That's exactly right.
And then on Wednesday, May 24th at 6 p.m. at Depressions Beach, just off the coast of UCSB, there's going to be a paddle out, which is a way for those in the surf community to celebrate the life of a fallen friend. It's organized by UCSB, but it's also open to the community.
That's right. Absolutely. This has been a really incredible event that also is now in its third year. And so as we kind of go through every year, you know, the healing for everyone is different. And certainly as a lot of the students who were here have left, the focus continues to shift a little bit in terms of how we commemorate this tragedy. But both the candlelight vigil and the paddle out have been ongoing opportunities that people really hold on to. And the paddle out has been beautiful to see all of the people going out in surfboards, in swimmers, people who actually remain on the shore all together in the water to commemorate.
And we're honoring those who were lost. And let's go ahead and recall who they were. I know Veronica Weiss.
Absolutely. The UCSB students that we lost were George Chen, Katie Cooper, James Hong, Christopher Michaels Martinez, David Wong, and Veronica Weiss.
And some of the parents come back. I'm going to get just all emotional talking about it. I was here last year when they held a memorial service out in Stork Tower. And some of the parents return year after year. And there's signs, memorials to some of them in the park,
Absolutely.
Some of the parks in Isla Vista.
We have a park that has been dedicated, an area of People's Park, is now the Love and Remembrance Garden. And there are six benches there that were lovingly crafted from wood that commemorate these students and that actually tell a story about them. It was an opportunity to collaborate with the parents to learn more about their children. And so after this engagement where the artists learned more about the things that were very special to these students, they then created these beautiful benches to commemorate them. And so that's become a very special place for gathering.
So their loss has really changed so many people's lives. Some of their parents have taken on the cause for stricter gun control
That's
regulations.
Right.
And the community of Isla Vista actually came back and bonded more solidly mm-hmm. than ever in the wake of this tragedy. We now have an Isla Vista Community Services District, the first success as mm-hmm. far as starting to grow a local government right here in Isla Vista. Mm-hmm. So out of the tragedy has come some new growth and new births. And I think that those who really worked on the community services district efforts and other efforts in Isla Vista to grow it as a community, they don't forget those who were lost on that night 3 years ago.
That's absolutely right. You know, I think it really created a sense of urgency, you know, for the community to respond in productive and proactive ways to really build and strengthen the community. And I do think that in the midst of this tragedy is an incredible outcome. And I think it serves to really honor their lives, to see the kind of catalyst that has been for the community as a whole.
This is Inside Isla Vista on 91.9 FM KCSB. I'm Lisa Osborne talking with Deanna Collins Puente, the Isla Vista Community Advisor for Associated Students at UCSB. And the Pardall Center was rather new on the night of the tragedies when that happened 3 years ago. And yet the building is located right across the scene where some students were shot. And you actually came to Isla Vista and Pardal Center after the tragedies, but you know, you're very connected with what happened there that night and how nice it was to have the Pardal Center as a space for students in the community to come together.
Absolutely. The Pardal Center was established at the end of 2013 in terms of really just beginning to have a space. Associated students, leadership had decided that it was important to have a space in the community, not only for other UCSB students, but really for the entire community. And thus, they established the Pardal Center. Of course, the second floor, where the Isla Vista Tenants Union and Legal Resource Center are based out of, was there for much longer. But that first floor really opened up for the community just prior to this tragedy, and then served as a really important anchor, as a gathering place in the aftermath of the May tragedy, where people just naturally convened there. They created massive memorial boards. They did art on the sidewalks, not only in front of the Pardal Center, but also leading across the street to Ivy Deli, which was, as you said, the site of some of this destruction on that night. And the Pardal Center continued to be a place for folks to gather and to heal, and to find ways to come together as community in the aftermath. So I can't imagine not having had the Pardal Center there. It has just been such an important part of our process. I will share with you that the first year anniversary of this tragedy, we did hold a healing space at the Pardal Center for a week, where we collaborated with dozens of organizations and had more than 30 events in the Pardal Center to offer folks a place to heal, and recognizing that healing looks very different to different people. And so really just trying to create a very open space for the community. And so I'm very thankful to be at the Pardal Center. And I think it has just continues to grow in terms of being a resource. And as a side note, you know, those boards that were used, that were actually donated by Home Depot, those boards that were used, we did memorialize some of those boards as permanent installations. But there were also others that we have now reused, and they've actually become a big resource for the community. They get used everywhere. They show up on campus. They show up in all places in IV, in the parks.
They were in the march. I think there was a march recently that they were pulling the boards down through the march.
That's exactly right. So that, to me, is another kind of symbol of where things go and how things grow.
And you established last year, you came up with the idea for the Isla Vista Conference, calling it the Beloved Community, which you address Isla Vista as the Beloved Community. And you felt that there was a need for the community to tell their story, not for news crews who came in from around the world to cover the May tragedies of 2014 to tell the story, or to tell the story of Isla Vista's reputation as a party culture.
Absolutely. You know, it is one of those things where there was the May tragedy and so many other things that were also really traumatic, I think, for the community in that year. And also a lot of incredible efforts that were underway, as we discussed earlier, some of them as a result of these tragedies. And so we came together last year, Associated Students, and really thought about where do we want to go from here, recognizing where we came from, and also that as a community, it was a crucial time to think about how we pivot and go forward. All the various efforts that are happening in the community are not always seen or honored or told. And so we thought that as part of that process of strengthening the community, it was important to come together and to just showcase the things that we were doing, but also begin to develop more of a collective understanding of our work and how we move that forward. And so we thought about this idea of the Beloved Community, building off of Dr. King's work, and not only Dr. King's work, but also his predecessors that spoke about this vision of a beloved community, a beloved community that is really actively engaged with each other to seek out what is best for all of us. And so we engaged in that first annual conference and didn't know that the Beloved Community would necessarily be a framework that we would use going forward, but it has resonated so strongly across the community. Not only as far as a conference, but as far as an entire idea of how do we tell a different narrative. And as you said, something that isn't being imposed on the community, something that isn't just one dimension or just a negative way of telling it, but really an opportunity to tell that bigger, to have a bigger conversation about what Isla Vista is.
And while it's for the community, you're also being welcoming to whoever in the greater Santa Barbara area wishes to attend. The conference is free. You're
Absolutely.
Doing a reception Friday night and then a day of sessions on Saturday. So what will we experience by attending the beloved Isla Vista the conference? And let's give out the website now just in case anyone needs to hop off before we finish our conversation.
You bet. The website is ourislavista.com. And as you said, it is open to everybody. And part of that is because Isla Vista is not an island. It is a place that so many people have experienced and that they love so much that whether or not you currently reside in Isla Vista, everybody has a story about Isla Vista, something that really touches their heart. And so we want everyone to feel like they can come and be part of that conversation. And so what we're going to be doing is on this Friday, which is May 19th, we're going to be gathering for an opening art exhibit and reception at the Community Resource Building. And that will be an opportunity to look at all the things that make our Isla Vista ours in terms of artistically. We'll be focusing on the murals that are in Isla Vista. I believe that there's something about 20 to 30 murals around IV. Many of them are kind of hidden gems. And so we've had one of our photographers go out, Chelsea Lyon, and take pictures of all of these murals.
Oh, neat.
So those will be showcased during this event. And really just an opportunity to come together again with some delicious food, with art, and just starting off the conference that way.
And the reception goes from 5 to 8?
From 4 to 7.
4 to 7. And what a wonderful opportunity if you don't often get to Isla Vista, because I know if you are not from at UCSB regularly, if you live downtown in Santa Barbara, you might not even think of going to Isla Vista. But it really is, as you mentioned, like taking a walking tour around Isla Vista. You might be surprised at what you see because of the murals, because of all the parks, and because of the gorgeous views from the tops of the bluffs. So 4 to 7 on Friday, if you're coming to the reception, maybe you can take a little time and take a little walking tour as well. And
That's then on a wonderful idea.
Yeah. And then on Saturday, you have a full day of events.
We have a full day of events. We are going to be opening up with an opening ceremony by one of our Chumash elders. And then from there, we're really going to have a day that builds from one session to the next around deepening our understanding of Isla Vista and our commitment to beloved community. And so we will have a lot of opportunities to engage around the things that are happening in Isla Vista, but with a particular focus on six communities that we are going to really talk about what does community engagement look like with these communities. And so that includes the houseless community, families, students, faculty and staff, businesses, and service providers. And so it will really be an opportunity for us to kind of go a little bit deeper in to a conversation about how we're engaging in these spaces. And then really wrapping all of that up at the end of the day with a session about what are our individual and collective commitments to Isla Vista. Like, we want to come out of this conference with a better sense of what people want to do in support of the community. And some of that might be that they want to explore more and learn more about the history of Isla Vista. Some of that might be that they want to get tied into one of the organizations that's working in IV, or that they might have an initiative that they want to take forward. And so this will be an opportunity to share that and also collaborate with other folks that are there to develop these ideas.
Yeah, find out what others are doing. And it's interesting, you mentioned all the different communities within Isla Vista, because it's, gosh, I think the average age of the Isla Vista residents is maybe like 21 or 22, but you have full families living there. There are people who homeowners on Del Playa. I know a lady, a friend of mine, lives there, and they bought 20 or more years ago because it was the only affordable place they could buy in Santa Barbara, yet they're living on this bluff top, and now, you know, and they love it, you know. Mm-hmm. they like being here because there is a lot to do here, and also the nature is, you're so close to nature. There's Coloyal Point with the snowy plovers you know, part of the time, and the Devereaux Slough, and
that's
really a beautiful place to be.
And you know, that reminds me to tell you that during lunch we have a very nice 2-hour lunch, because we want to take the opportunity to engage in a lot of different activities and have some fun, but also still within that realm of deepening our understanding. So one of the things that we'll be doing during lunch will be a tour of Ivy Parks, of the local parks in Ivy. We will also in addition to the delicious food, be doing some art work around the beloved community. We're going to be doing giant Jenga and slackline. We will have a lot of different activities going on. Candle making by ASS COSWEB, the Commission on Student Wellbeing. So lots of different activities also going on during lunch that people can engage in. So hope to have, you know, families coming out, you know, the kids running around. It should be a really good afternoon for everybody.
Sounds like a lot of fun. This is Inside Isla Vista on 91.9 FM KCSB. We're talking about the second annual Isla Vista Conference, the beloved community, with Deanna Collins Puente. She's with Associated Students, and so it's happening May 19th and 20th. That's this weekend, Friday and Saturday, the art show and reception on Friday, and the conference and workshops on Saturday. Is it the co-op who's providing the food again this year?
They are one of the local businesses that is providing the food. But yes, we are supporting and trying to highlight all of the different businesses that are going to be involved, including Bagel Cafe, Sorrisos Italiano, we have Super Cucas, and of course the Ivy Food Co-op.
Great. So, and it's free. So it's a no charge if you wanted to swing by and see what it's all about. It looks like a lot of really interesting sessions, kind of going from the past into the future all through that day. So if you spent the day here, you would know a lot more about Isla Vista by the end of the day. So it looks like a really nice schedule for Saturday.
Wonderful.
So Deanna, we were talking earlier about how Pardal Center kind of became a healing space for students in the wake of the May tragedies of 2014. And how have you seen students kind of evolve over time? I mean, when you arrived here just a couple of months after the tragedies, what kind of emotions were you encountering then and then compared to now?
You know, I think that there is just such a range of ways that people have dealt with this. And so across time, I think we really see it perking and percolating in different ways. I think that there were certainly a lot of ways in which students were also feeling that kind of critical momentum to move, to do things, to respond. And they did that in such a variety of ways, whether that was by, you know, having memorials and commemorating those who had passed, or whether they took on additional activism roles to discuss the issues that rose up as a result of that tragedy. You know, right after I got here, so in the immediate, you know, in July, we began having town hall meetings, educational forums around Isla Vista self-governance. You know, and really Associated Students was very involved in wanting to understand the impact of self-governance for the student, you know, community, as well as the broader community of Isla Vista. So that was something that they were very, very involved in. And then building out the Pardal Center, I think that as we noted earlier, it really became a kind of a recognition of the resources that are available, but that also the growing need by many different members of the community for additional resources. We have a significant number of houseless members of the community that utilize the Pardal Center. We have just a very broad section of folks, including families, you know, long-term residents, students, and even visitors from out of town that stop by and utilize that space.
Because they're using the computers or they're using the room. It's kind of like a library without the books, because you have desks set up there and computers, right?
Absolutely right. We offer free computers, free internet, printing. We often have snacks available. We have lots of community resources that are available from there. We have a bike fix-it station, a self-help legal center downstairs, and it really gets utilized a lot. Just for meetings and events, we have about more than 300 on average every quarter that happen in the Pardal Center. So there's a lot of utilization of the space, everything from self-defense classes and yoga to sit-ins, or rather, not sit-ins, rather vigils, study jams that happen. We have more than 800 students coming through for our study jams every quarter.
Because you're open 24/7 during study jam.
That's right.
It's amazing. Quiet place to study.
You know, the dedication of our student staff, I just can't tell you how much I appreciate them, because during the time when they're also preparing for their finals, they're there 24 hours a day, you know, dedicated to keeping that space open for their peers. My thanks to them for their work.
That's awesome. Deanna Collins Puente, thanks so much for coming in today to talk about the second annual Isla Vista Conference, a beloved community. And go to ourislavista.com for an entire rundown and all of the information as to where this is happening on Friday evening and all day Saturday, and it's free. That's really amazing that it's open to everyone. And as we remember the tragedies of 3 years ago and look forward stronger than ever, let's mention those who we lost on that night one more time.
Absolutely. George Chen, Katie Cooper, James Hong, Christopher Michaels Martinez, David Wong, and Veronica Weiss.
And in their memories and through that, their tragedy, their tragic ending, the community is growing stronger and coming together. And it's really made incredible strides even since in the past year alone. So
it has been amazing to see the growth of the community. And I would also note that the conference is dedicated to those students who passed. Thank you so much for having me, Lisa.
Sure.
I really appreciate the opportunity to speak about this. I hope that, you know, all your listeners will be able to join us. I think it's going to be a great weekend. Loving up Isla Vista.
Coming up this weekend, check it out, ourislavista.com. This is Inside Isla Vista on 91.9 FM KCSB. Our theme music is by Jawser. Thanks so much for tuning in tonight. Coming up next week, Lieutenant Mark Signa is hosting with the UC Police Department, and he has Katya Armistead on, and they're going to be talking about graduation and what they're planning for as students prepare to move out of their time at UCSB coming up in just a few weeks. This is 91.9 FM KCSB.